Hey everyone, I'm Caleb.
And I'm Michaela.
And this is the Michaela Talks Podcast. Yo, yo, yo.
Hello.
How's it going?
Wow.
What?
It's been a crazy week.
It has been?
Yeah. I'm tired. It's... Yeah.
You've had too many coronas, or?
joke. There it is.
Yep.
Knew that was coming.
Yeah. I mean.
You know, honestly, it's funny because I fully started off the week completely joking about this virus.
Yeah.
And ended the week.
Like, oh, this seems kind of serious.
Yeah. Basically, just my attitude about it changed. I mean, I'm still joking about it. Don't get me wrong, because...
Yeah.
I mean, the... Yeah. Just, I think I'm making... I'm trying to not get so stressed, so I'm trying to make light of it. Like, not to be rude or insensitive, but just, like, just to keep things kind of light. Yeah, you should probably
let the dog.
But yeah, so
I agree.
I knew you would come in with one of those jokes pretty quick.
Come on.
I have to let the dog in, or he thinks he's being left out.
Yeah. Yeah, like I'm still thinking that it's being blown out of proportion to like a large degree, but
oh, yeah, I don't think media, I don't think media is helping the situation at all.
Yeah. But I mean, it's still a serious thing. You want to be careful. I mean, you're always wanting to be careful about being clean and stuff like that.
Of
so
course.
It is funny how people have blown out of the water.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that people who don't have babies are buying diapers and baby wipes.
Yeah, that's
ridiculous.
Just makes me mad.
Yeah, yeah.
It's and like, that's what really...
Do you need that? No, you don't need that? Okay, go find something else, like a napkin or some, like, old rags you don't need.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Get out of here.
That's definitely what started a little bit of the stress for me.
The irritation more than anything.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was our odd...
It's taken up a lot of... Yeah. Just, it's been a lot. Like, we just found out, what, an hour ago that... Mm-hmm. School's canceled.
Yep.
So,
which, you know, for us,
yeah, that's not
we're
a big
not
deal.
Super stressed about that because we've set ourselves up to be able to handle that. You know, you're staying
really,
at home.
We're very blessed
already.
Yes.
So we're blessed, but there's a ton of parents out there who both parents have to work, so that's a lot of stress.
Well,
so
they've closed Boys and Girls Club,
mm-hmm.
and in our community, Boys and Girls Club was
huge.
Vital for parents who work. Because their kids could go to Boys and Girls Club after school.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm grateful that, you know, I am home. And so, that doesn't cause me any worry or fear.
Yeah, and thankfully, we're in a position.
And I get to offer, you know, our home to friends and stuff
exactly,
if they need help and things. Which I've already done. I've messaged quite a few friends already and said, hey, you know, if you need somewhere for your kids to hang out during the day while you're at work, please don't hesitate to reach out to me because... You know, if this scare does nothing else, I hope that it brings people together and causes us to lay down some of that selfishness.
Yeah, I think more community-minded than self-minded.
Absolutely.
For sure. Well, I wanted to start off by asking questions. Since we're in this stage in our community where people are trying to be preppers and survivalists, I thought I'd ask, if you were stuck on an island... And you had to choose two things to help you to survive on an island. What would you choose?
What kind of island?
An island with trees. We'll just say a Pacific island with a lot of palm trees. And a nice little reef that you can go fishing.
I only get two?
Two items.
Oh my gosh.
Plus the clothes on your back. And legs.
Thanks. Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay. A knife.
A knife.
A sharp knife. And a large supply of bug repellent. That's not a joke. They love me. I would be eaten alive by bugs.
Huh. Cool.
And if I had a knife, I could hunt. I could spearfish. I could do some things.
Hmm.
What would your two things be?
A hatchet and either a rope or like a rope or like a twine type deal, or a hatchet and no, I think a hatchet and a rope, like twine. Those would be the ones that I would want. Because I feel like with those two things, I could do practically everything I would want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know how to make a fire without.
Yeah.
Anything, just the stuff I need.
Mm-hmm.
It's annoyingly long, but painstaking, but can do it. I could make some fishing-like objects. Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All of that right there.
Cool, cool, cool.
So, cool, 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 cool. All right. Well, today we're talking about listening.
What'd you say?
I just want to point out something to Podcast Land. She gives me a hard time about pop and dad jokes. And
they're not dad jokes, they're mom jokes.
No, you have been on the roll lately.
That's true, I have. That's true,
I just need to point out.
I'm hilarious.
Okay, if I were to say...
People take it for granted. I'm a funny person.
If I were to say the same thing...
You're not funny.
You would say, that's dumb. Like, if we were to turn that around, I would be like, what? You'd be like, ha ha.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll let Podcast Land decide how they feel about that.
Okay.
So today, back, we're talking about listening and having a marriage where you realize that communication is not just opening your mouth.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you agree with that statement?
I do agree.
Do you have any comments on that statement?
Yes, but is that all you got?
No, I just, you gave me that look.
No, I mean, I agree with you fully.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if we're zoning in on listening,
mm-hmm.
Honestly, that can be a lot different than communicating. Like, it's a different avenue of communication. Because,
but it is communicating.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not saying I disagree that it's communicating. I'm just saying it's... Never mind. Go ahead.
What?
I don't want to... I'm not trying to argue with you.
No, I was just saying that I feel like
listening is a different part of communication.
Yeah, it's the nonverbal portion.
Right.
Right, yeah. Okay. I was confused by where you were going there for a second. So I wanted to... listen to you and see what you meant.
Mm.
See what I did there?
Yeah, see, you always like call attention to it and that makes it less funny. That's the thing I don't like about dad jokes is you guys always say the joke and then you just sit there with this dumb look on your face like, did you get it? And I can't, that's the part of it I can't stand.
I hear you.
See, there it is again. I can't with this.
Yeah, so, like, in... A lot of people think marriage, or, like, communication in general, is just, like, if you get the last word, like, you've succeeded.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or it's just talking.
Right. Where it's just like, I need you to understand what I'm saying. So you just keep repeating the same thing over and over. And when in reality, what you need to do is you need to talk. You need to listen. You need to, like, sit back and let them chew on the thoughts.
Yeah.
And, like, give them the opportunity to listen to you. And listening can actually be two-part. It's the initial you talking and us processing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, after that, for some people, like, sometimes even for me, not all the time, but, like, sometimes it's like, you've said it, I've heard it, and you chew on it.
Yeah.
That's, like, the thinking process is still part of communication.
Absolutely.
So, like, I remember when I worked at a bank, one of probably the most least... one of my least favorite jobs I've ever had was working at a bank. I didn't hate the actual job.
Right, that's what I was saying.
I hated working with the people that I worked with.
Yeah, you did not enjoy your
coworkers. Those ladies, I worked with a bunch.
They were characters.
They were something else.
But you actually, you liked your job.
Oh, yeah. So, but I ended up, there was a guy that would come in, he was a loan officer. He'd come in and work all the high number accounts. Mm-hmm. So, like, if somebody wanted to do some investment that was anything 10,000 or more,
right,
he'd come in. And I was just talking with him about sales, and he told me, he's like, one of the biggest things you can learn in the retail world is whoever speaks last gets the sale.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if you're the one who gets the last word in, you win. Now, he was talking about, like, hey, go ahead and let other people talk to them, but as long as you're the last one to make your point, you win.
Yeah, because it's fresh on their mind.
Yeah, and, yeah. But you get to argue your point against all the other points.
Right.
Which, you know, when I think about that comment, that is not a good comment for communication in marriage, because it's not about whoever gets the last word. It's whoever is successfully communicating to a point where you are understood, and the person that you, like, communicate with, like, clearly gets it.
Well, it's not a competition.
Right.
At all.
Right.
And it's not even, like, if you feel like you're being heard, then, of course, you know, you probably did well communicating. But it's more than that. Because in the case that you possibly feel like you're not being heard, that may not be your spouse's fault.
Right.
And I think that can get twisted quite a bit. Because I think in an argument setting, there's, you know, you have emotions flying, you have, you know, there's a lot going on. And so you are trying to say your piece and you're thinking, like, maybe they didn't respond the way you thought they would. And so you just assume that they didn't hear you correctly.
Right.
And that's not necessarily the case.
Right.
And that's when, you know, maybe you did your job as a listener and you actually truly tried to hear them. But that doesn't, like, automatically resolve whatever is going on.
Right.
And I think that there, you know, those two parts get kind of, they can just get mashed together, because you as the communicator, whoever is doing the talking, has to communicate clearly. You know, you have to actually say what you mean and not just base everything, all of that off of emotions. And as the listener, I think you also have to, you have to truly hear them. And you have to also be able to separate, okay, what are they saying because they're hurt or because they're excited? You have to be able to pull those things apart and just get the meat of that.
Right.
And so each of you as an individual has an important job that you have to constantly be refining.
Right. That's, I mean, yeah, so, like, a point there that you made, it's like, sometimes we're listening to the person, and oftentimes we need to listen to not just what they're saying, but also what, like, the secondary message being said. Because sometimes, the other day you came in the house, you were, like, really irritated for some reason about something that happened, and, like, it just caught me off guard. And I was like, why is she so irritated by this? And then I was like, okay, big picture, she's not irritated by that. She's irritated by, you were irritated by a bigger thing going on than just that one moment. That one moment was what I saw. Mm-hmm. But I was able to pick up, it's like, oh, do you know what? It's all this anxiety about so many other things going on. That's the one thing that just triggered it. You know, and I was able to pick that up. It's like, oh, okay. Give some space, come back. You were fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, sometimes that's just, like, listening often is not just the thing on the surface.
Right.
Sometimes we have to find what's really going on here. Mm-hmm. And that's bringing understanding of, I know my spouse type of deal. It's, okay, do you know what? And you do it with me all the time. You look at me and you're like, you know what? This is a really stupid thing he's getting irritated over. It's not just this thing that's irritating him. It's a bigger thing. And you do that with me all the time. You know, it's learning to understand what's really going on with your spouse. And that's listening. Yeah. Listening isn't just the surface detail. It's understanding the big details.
Yeah, and it's not always negative.
Right.
I mean, we've talked a little bit about how you are the dreamer of our relationship.
Yeah,
and I'm a dreamer. And I mean, and sometimes you just start talking about things that you're thinking about. And early on in our relationship, that would stress me out. Because, I mean, I don't say this to be, like, to sound proud, but I think I'm a fairly good listener. Like, I have no problem sitting back and letting people vent and, you know, just listening to people talk. I don't feel like I, you know, necessarily need to interject my opinion or mm-hmm. anything all the time. And so, very early on in our relationship, you would do a lot of, you know, you do a lot of talk dreaming.
Yeah, I just voice my thoughts just to do it.
Yeah, and so that would stress me out because I would think you were actually, like, wanting to do this thing that you were talking about. And, of course, I'm a planner. I can be pretty type A. In my head, I'm thinking about all the things that it would take to get this off the ground and going. And it's stressing me out. And we did have to kind of clarify, you know, that you weren't being serious. You were just talking because it was something
that'd be cool.
Yeah, something you'd been thinking about and dreaming about. And so, you know, I have learned now when I listen to you talk about some of those things, I've learned to separate that.
Yeah.
And sometimes I still have to ask, like, is this actually something you want to do? Or, you know, is this just something you're thinking about? I still have to actually clarify that sometimes.
Yeah, and, like, it's actually, you know, it's funny that you talk like that. Because to me, like, yeah, shut up. Our dog's breathing too loudly. We had to kind of give him a nudge. Like, to me, it's weird to, like, think that there's people out there who just don't, like, have these wild dreams in their head all the time. Like, dude, that would be so awesome. Just think about doing that. Like, hey. And then you're just like, yeah, that's a waste of my time. Like, you do that to a degree, but you don't, like, always voice them out like I do.
Right. And that's how I would clarify that. I mean, I don't do it near as much as you do. Like, I would say, like, maybe 5% as much as you do. That's about as
yeah,
much.
I just,
like, I will see people who, like when we used to see people with a camper, I would always think, oh, it would be so nice to have a camper. And, like, but to me, that was also attainable. So it was an okay thing to dream about.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas, like, you know, my idea, like, hey, wouldn't it be cool to, like, go backpack Israel one day or something stupid like that? Like, you're just like, please don't be thinking about that right now. Like, you know, it's little things like that where it's, but, you know, you learned early on, that's just how I, shut up. Gosh.
We're gonna have to do this differently.
Yeah. He's such a noisy animal. I don't know what's going on with him lately. He's being weird. I don't know. Maybe it's the corona getting to him.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway. But like,
you forgot what you were talking about, didn't you?
I wasn't listening to myself, was I?
Hmm.
Hmm. But, like, yeah, just going back to, like, listening, it's, you know, we learned early on in our marriage, you know, how we both think,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how we process each other's thoughts. You know, I think out loud, you know,
right.
like, you know, like, if somebody were to record me in my car while I'm alone, they'd think I'm pretty weird, or like I'm on speakerphone, because I'll just talk to myself, mm-hmm. and it's not me being, like, weird about, like, another person being there. I'm just like, Caleb, like, what's going, like, and I'll be like, why do I, you know, I'll just talk.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, you know, and it's not like, it's like, oh, I wonder if I need to go do that right now, you know?
It's very strange.
Is she thinking that? Oh, man. You know, and I'll just talk out loud. And I'll process my thoughts out loud, because when I hear them, I'm just processing them.
Right.
It's just how I process my thoughts.
I like that you've described yourself sometimes as an extroverted thinker.
Yeah.
Because you think out loud.
Yeah. I'm a pretty introverted guy in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But when it comes to my thoughts, yeah, I'm pretty extroverted. Like,
yeah. I like that you describe yourself that way. I think it's really appropriate.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think it's weird that you talk out loud, but I think that description is appropriate.
I don't care.
I know.
I don't care you think I'm weird. You're married to me, so you can't really do much about that, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, but, like, listening is hard for a lot of people to do, because a lot of it goes back to, like, that whole, I want you to take my thoughts and do something with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, my advice is good, take it.
Right.
You know, like, I have the comment written, and I have a little black book that I take with me almost everywhere I go. When someone says something really profound in my life, or something where it's like, this thought sticks out, I write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where this comment came from, but it's in the book. So it came from somewhere. But it was like, demanding somebody take your advice is like, whatchamacallit? How'd it go?
Now he's trying to find it.
Yeah, demanding someone to take your advice is like throwing bricks on a foundation with hopes of building a wall.
Mm.
It's like, you know, take my advice. It works. Take my advice. It works. Where mm-hmm. in reality, it's there's nothing beneficial. It's like, if it's going to work, it can't be a forced thing. It has to be taken and used appropriately.
Right.
You know. I can't force you to take my advice, but I'm going to give it and hope that it is something beneficial to you.
Mm-hmm. But I think this would be an important time to give the advice that, you know, quick tip, that maybe not every conversation is they want your advice.
It's true.
A lot of times, you know, you've come to me just to vent, not because you want me to tell you, you know, my advice, not because you're seeking advice at all.
I need you to fix my problems.
Yeah, you just want to vent. You just need to get it out.
Exactly.
And I think for a lot of people, that's the case.
Yep.
Like, for me, most of the time, because I do vent, I'm not, you know, a crazy person, but I usually already know what the answer is. I just
yeah.
still need to kind of, like, word vomit and get
yeah.
all of the feelings and stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I usually know what the right course of action is after that.
Even if the venting makes it seem like I want to go a different direction
yeah.
with my choice. Like, oftentimes, like, in my venting, I'll be like, I just want to go smack this person or something stupid like that. When in reality, I'm like, no, I really need to actually, like, listen to this person. I need
yeah.
to be open-minded and help this, or
right.
you know, whatever it is. It's like, I oftentimes when I'm venting, I know the correct course of action is the opposite of how I vent.
Yeah,
oftentimes, just because I need to get the frustration out.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I have one or two people in my life that I vent to.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even think of a second person right now, but you know, I because I don't like people seeing me on that side. I don't want people to see me in my negative where I'm just a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm the portion of me that's the venting side of me is pretty much not an understanding person oftentimes, because I have all this pent up frustration. I need to work through and chew on that frustration appropriately.
Yeah.
And that's what venting is.
Yeah.
And that's why it's good to be a good listener.
Mm-hmm.
Is because oftentimes you just need to be that person who takes it.
Well, yeah, and
not necessarily
the understanding. I mean, I think the true definition of venting, I mean, at least in the way that we're using that term, is that there's no judgment. You just say the things that you need to say because that's what you're feeling. There's no judgment there, though, because you still come out on the other side of, okay, I understand why you're feeling that way. You understand why you're feeling that way. And then you get to, you know, move on. You go to what's next.
Yeah. And a good listener in a venting stage usually makes sure that the person venting does know the correct course of action.
Yes, you of know? Course.
Like, we usually check and be like, you know.
You know that that's not a good way to feel.
Or just, like, being like, you know, so what are you thinking about doing about that? And usually when we say that, we're like, I know what I need to do. I'm just mad right now.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, when I've had people vent to me, they always apologize. Like, I'm so sorry. I know that, you know, I shouldn't feel that way. And I try to always say, it's okay to be hurt, or it's okay to be angry. Like, it's not bad to feel that way. But don't get stuck there.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, yeah, it's just, it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just not okay to be okay with that.
Yeah.
If you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's, you're allowed to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
But you shouldn't be okay with being
broken.
Don't
stay broken.
Don't stay broken.
Yeah.
You know, you're allowed to kind of, oh my gosh, dude, go chill somewhere else.
He can't deal with it.
Yeah.
He has to be up here.
He's mad because we're not letting him on the
bed.
We
kicked him off the bed and now he's upset.
Yeah, it's his little throne. He's a spoiled
brat. He's going to keep circling.
Yeah. But, like, you're allowed to spend time in your brokenness and really kind of be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in the Bible, a lot of times when people are grieving, they had this time period to just grieve. Like, it's like, it was standard to just have, like, a few days, a week, whatever. You know, I don't remember the number, but there was a time period where they were allowed to just stay there and be sad.
Yeah.
To cry, to mourn, to grieve, to put ashes on their head, you know, all that stuff. Chill. Ah, come on.
He's okay.
You twerp. Anyway. That stage where I'm allowed to be broken right now. But they weren't allowed to stay there.
No.
They're like, okay, you've had this time period, time to come back to reality.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
And I love how that's laid out in the Psalms. David lays that out for us so perfectly of, you know, when he goes through that grieving process and everything, and then it's over.
Yep.
And he wakes up that day, and he goes back to his responsibilities and all of those things. And it's not going to always be that cut and dry. You know, you're not just going to wake up one day and decide... You know, depending on the situation, of course. You know, you're not just going to wake up one day and decide that, okay, you know, it's a sunshining day, so let's act like I wasn't just a ball of tears yesterday. Like,
yeah.
You know.
You're still allowed to have emotional issues.
Yeah. Well, and you do sometimes have to work into that and rebuild that strength.
Exactly.
We're getting way off topic.
Listening. it's all part of that, you know. It's... listening goes beyond words.
Yeah.
You've got to go, not just, like, and another part of listening that a lot of people put in, like, forget about, is in a conversation, you often have to stop and listen to yourself.
Mm.
That's a huge thing, is people spend so much time trying to make sure other people are listening to them that oftentimes you're forgetting to stop and listen to yourself. It's like, am I just being, like, irrational?
Yeah.
You know, and taking time to listen to yourself and be like, I have an emotional need and I'm going to be irrational anyway.
Yeah.
I need to take care of this. And listening to yourself, what your heart is saying.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? My heart is saying this, and that's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, my heart is saying I'm mad, I'm angry, and I'm bitter, and I need to take care of that.
Mm.
Being able to stop and reflect and be like, you know what? I've got some heart issues here, and they're making me think a wrong way.
Yeah.
Or they're making me react to my family the wrong way. I'm not responding to my kids in a patient and loving way. What's going on here? I need to stop and look at what's going on in my life. Listening isn't just a word thing. I mean, yes, okay, if we go back to the root of what the actual word is, yes. When we're talking about communication, we don't just listen, you know. I'm using the word listening as a processing. Like, yeah. How am I processing the information you give me?
Right.
And I need to look at for all the information. Not just what you're giving me, but what I need to pick up outside of what you're giving me. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, she's telling me this, but what is she also showing me?
Yeah.
You know, that's, I think, like, if you can walk away to try to be the best thing that you can be for your marriage, you know, outside of having a quality relationship where you're communicating thoroughly with God, communication where you're becoming like a quality communicator with your spouse, that'll be huge.
Yeah, for sure.
Learning to pick up on the verbal, nonverbal cues.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, she just gave me that look, and I know what that look means. Despite what she tells me what it means, I know what that look means. You know?
It's fine.
Anyway.
So I would say I agree with everything you just said. I would say another really important tip, you know, for listening and being a listener, and this is something that I don't remember grasping until I was in college. One of our professors would speak about this. He would give, you know, tips for being, you know, a listener and a good friend and that kind of thing.
Right.
And one of the things that he would always say is, you have to train yourself to be a listener and not always listening to respond.
Right. Sometimes. Yeah. I remember him saying that plenty of times.
Yeah.
Too.
And he like gave you like concrete tips on how to help. Like, if that's something that if you struggle with interrupting or like, you know, cutting people off,
mm-hmm.
he would give you a tip like, okay, count to three. And if they don't talk anymore, it's okay to respond. Like, he would give you these really concrete ways, which sounded so silly because it's like, if I count to three, they're gonna, like, think I don't want to carry on this conversation with them anymore. Like, I used to think silly things like that. But honestly,
3 seconds isn't that long.
Yeah, and if you're doing it in your head, it's like 1, 2, 3. Okay, so they're probably, they're done with that current sentence.
Yeah, it's like,
onward.
Yeah, it's like, pause. Okay. Yeah, you know, it's,
right.
Just, there's nothing wrong with waiting.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong. Like, oftentimes, going in the same thing, communication, where same teacher almost, I believe, like, teaching on how to lead group discussions.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that he told me was, in a group discussion, in order to make sure that discussion is happening, oftentimes, as the group facilitator, you have to shut up.
Yes.
So... sometimes you just have to, like, say what you need to say and then step back. And even if you got, like, 10 seconds of silence, that's better than you trying to fill the silence.
Right.
It's like, ask the question. It's like, what would you do if? And then just shut up.
Yeah.
And then don't try to just, don't go in and try to re-ask the question another way. Just shut up.
Yeah.
And let people think. and chew and respond and try to build a conversation. Because you, as the facilitator, it's not a public speaking event, it's a group discussion.
Yeah.
And if you're the one talking, people aren't going to, mm-hmm. you know. So
yeah.
You listening requires you to shut up.
Yep.
That's hard.
Sometimes, yes.
For me, it's always hard. I'm a talker. Mm-hmm. You know, I could talk just for hours on end because I'm just thinking, you know. And if nobody stops my thinking, I'm gonna just keep thinking. You know, because that's what I do at night. I sit there and I just think. And that's the reason why I don't get any sleep, is because I'm not thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not...
That was something that I had to, like, train out of you almost in our first year of marriage, is that we would, like, get in bed, getting ready to go to sleep, and you would just, like, dump on me all of these things that you'd been thinking and feeling. And I was, like, ready to go to bed, like, fall asleep, go to bed. And I would put up for a long time. And then you, like, made a comment one night, like, why do you always fall asleep while I'm trying to talk to you? And I was like, crap. And I think I eventually just said, well, I'm tired. And I don't know when you're going to stop talking. So I'm trying to be polite, but I fall asleep. And so I think we actually had to, like, come to an understanding of... Well, laying your life thoughts on me in bed.
Well, oftentimes they weren't even like...
best time.
They weren't even life thoughts. It was just I was talking and chatting, and then they weren't even anything serious.
Sometimes, yeah.
Well, I mean, every night in a row. But, like, yeah, I'd often look over there talking about whatever, and then I'm like, oh, she's sleeping. You're like, whatever, you know.
I'm such a good listener. I can't even tell you when I'm falling asleep.
Yeah,
it's so true though.
And it is true.
And maybe, you know, that's
a
not
chatty a guy.
That would be a wise thing for you to do, is communicate with your spouse what is, like, the best time to have some of those conversations so that you can be a good listener.
Yeah,
create a good environment for that.
Yeah, in marriage you really do have to set those moments up.
Yeah,
because, like, we don't get a lot of time without interruptions in our life.
Right.
From the moment we wake up to basically till the end of the day with the last hour and a half, 2 hours.
Well, I mean, and once we get the boys in bed, we both kind of, like, we take our space for a little bit.
Yeah, we need our space.
And we do our own unwinding, and then we kind of come back together and we'll watch a show together or something. Like, that's a very...
We'll do our talks.
...normal way for us too.
Yeah, because after spending the whole day with the kids, we do need about a half hour. Or even just, like, just in general, after a day, we need, like, that half hour to just be like, all right, I need to unwind. I need to survive. 'Cause as much as we love our kids... You know, they drain because they're needy,
and
they depend on us.
They take a lot of energy.
So in order to make sure we're taking care of ourselves, yeah, we need to take some time for ourselves.
Yeah,
I spent like 20 minutes today just working on seeds and gardening because it's just a thing I can do right now that just helps me unwind. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that time of year. I'm thinking about vegetables in dirt, whereas in a couple months I might be thinking about fishing in water, and then a couple months later I'm already thinking, but I can't do much about it.
Right,
all that melting ice, can't really fish much of that. I'm pretty sad.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's all right. I'll survive.
Good,
I think. So,
yeah.
Anyway, well, it's been fun. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, we hope that somewhere in there we
said something beneficial.
Yeah.
Yeah, in our little bit of Chatty Cathy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, we hope you enjoyed the podcast. Like, subscribe, all that jazz. We are
5-star reviews.
iTunes, Spotify, and everywhere else, practically.
Pretty much. We should be by now. Yeah.
So, thanks all you faithful listeners out there who listen to us every week.
Yeah.
So, if you have any questions, just holler. You know where to find us. If you don't know where to find us,
don't come to our house.
Please don't
come to our house. I don't appreciate
uninvited
guests.
We may seem sort of extroverted on this podcast. We don't like
But you can totally message me.
Yeah, totally. Don't phone call. We don't like calls. We're not the phone call type. Message us.
Yeah.
We totally like that type of rat. Message us. Don't phone call us.
We're better listeners through a message.
Yeah. We don't like communicating with people on a verbal scale. Just with each other.
This is going great.
It's the introverts coming out on us.
Oh, jeez.
Totally message us. Hit us up that way.
Yeah.
And we'd love to talk with you. So, I'm Caleb.
And I'm Michaela.
And this is the Michaela Talks Podcast.